Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect right now with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon? If you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Help shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investment IRA. Right now, go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. That is where I buy my gold, noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Kurt Schlichter and Matt Gaetz. We talk George Santos and so many other different things. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Come to AmFest. The speakers are incredible. Tucker, Patrick Bet-David, Candace Owens, Glenn Beck, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Ali Beth Stuckey, Jonathan Isaac, Tim Pool, James O'Keefe, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Michael Anton, Jason Whitlock, Gad Saad, Brandon Tatum, Seth Dillon, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Yanmi Park, Michael Seifert, James Lindsay, and more. Steve Bannon, Vivek Ramaswamy, Donald Trump Jr., AmFest.com, AmFest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Kurt Schlichter. Kurt, welcome to the program. I was laughing in our kind of pre-chat here. I didn't watch this debate last night of DeSantis v. Newsom. Did you watch the debate last night? It's one of the least viral things I've seen in quite some time.
I didn't watch it, not because I dislike Ron DeSantis. In fact, I like Ron DeSantis. It's because I have, you know, a traumatic stress disorder from actually living in California. I don't need to see that hair-gelled, mutant, lying, scumbag communist one more second of my life. I got a hobo living on my lawn. I don't need this. I know how bad California is.
But Gavin Newsom is trying to tell us everything is wonderful. To DeSantis' credit, he showed and he didn't tell. And this is cut 135.
An app where they plot the human feces that are found on the streets of San Francisco. And you see how almost the whole thing is covered, because that is what has happened in one of the previous greatest cities this country's ever had. Human feces is now a fact of life, except when a communist dictator comes to town. Then they cleaned up the streets. They lined the streets with Chinese flags. They didn't put American flags there. They cleaned everything up. So they're willing to do it for a communist dictator, but they're not willing to do it for their own people.
That's pretty strong from Governor DeSantis. That's pretty strong.
And it's pretty true. Look, I grew up in San Mateo, California. It's about 10-15 miles south of San Francisco. So I went there a lot as a kid. And I remember a very different San Francisco. I just watched the 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the one where you have Donald Sutherland at the end going, ah! And it shows San Francisco. And Charlie, it's a beautiful city, a lovely city. That's the city I remember. And now it's a festival of hobo dropping. And that's not an exaggeration. That's absolutely true. How can you argue that you want to impose a model on the rest of the country that has, junkies, losers, and derelicts dropping trowel on the sidewalk and the cops just going, that's cool.
Let's go. By the way, we're seeing all these clips for the first time. Let's play cut 136.
In California, if you're a parent in Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina, your minor child can go to California without your knowledge or without your consent and get hormone therapy, puberty blockers, and a sex change operation, all without you knowing or consenting. How in the heck is that honoring parents' rights when you're bringing people from out of state to go around their parents' backs and getting life-altering surgeries? That is radical. That is extreme.
These kids,
that is an assault on parents' rights.
You know what?
Is that Gavin's response? These kids just want to live?
Well, look, I'm only a simple country trial lawyer, but I kind of understand bad arguments. The choice is not your child will die unless you saw off her healthy breasts or cut off his healthy penis and testicles and then carve a bizarre mutant version of a vagina into the body of the child. Let's say the words. That is what he is supporting. And that is outright evil. What a disgrace to my glorious state.
Let's play cut 137. We continue. We're all seeing this for the first time. 137.
How does paying $7 a gallon gas help working people? That doesn't help working people at all. How does paying an 8% sales tax help working people? That doesn't help working people at all. They have the highest taxes in the nation. People flee to be able to save money to get out of California. And you have working class people that move to these other states. Their dollars go much further.
So I want to try to get Newsom's response to some of this. He claims that more Californians, his response.
Charlie, before you go on, it's something important. Last night, I docu-signed the purchase of a house in Texas.
Wow. So you're leaving.
I'm going to split my time. I still have attachments to California and I don't retreat. Wouldn't do me any good anyway, because I'm still going to get stuck for California taxes. But the point is, when I went to Texas, it was like, not another California. I was like, no, I'm not a communist.
Let's play cut 138.
Ron, it's not this for is, you to decide. These, it's for the what? Parents to it's decide. The,
you know what?
And the
these
parents do not want their kids
survive.
Going
I
to these
this,
other
honestly,
things.
Let
these
me go
kids
to
have follow
the highest
suicide up.
Let me stay on a follow up. Let's turn to the issue of
Where's
education.
Your decency and humanity Let, and grace
the decency
when it comes
of
to
taking.
I don't even know what they're talking. It's indecipherable.
Decency and humanity of mutilating children. If that's decency and humanity, I am an unrepentant monster, because the mutilation of children, besides being a crime, is a sin. And it is despicable and disgusting. And, people are going to look back on this age the same way we look back on Caligula marrying a horse, or Ella Gabula pretty much doing the same thing that the San Francisco Democrats are doing.
The same way that we look back as Caligula. Refresh our audience on Roman history.
Caligula and Ella Gabula were two unbelievable monsters. Caligula was a lunatic pervert, allegedly married a horse. Ella Gabula was let's just say he was pretty much a moderate Democrat. He would like to mutilate children, created his own personal religion, and was totally incompetent, as was Caligula, in actually governing. So basically, like I said, San Francisco kind of moderate Democrat.
Just kind of mainstream, middle of the line.
Mainstream
so,
in it.
The one thing I will say is I didn't see much viral chatter here. Newsom is slippery. He's a really bad guy. He is.
Yes.
He's a very bad person and unbelievably self-righteous in what he does and how he communicates. And it doesn't seem as if the debate changed a lot of people's minds. I mean, from the clips I'm watching here, it looks like Ron DeSantis won. It's not even close. Let's play cut 139.
Yeah.
So I was talking to a fella who had made the move from California to Florida, and he was telling me that Florida is much better governed, safer, better budget, lower taxes, all this stuff. And he's really happy with the quality of life. And then he paused and he said, by the way, I'm Gavin Newsom's father-in-law. So we do count Gavin's in-laws as some of the people that have fled California and come to the state of Florida.
That's pretty good. I got to be honest. That's some sharp stuff.
That's a nice stroke to the kidneys.
It's a straight shot to use a Kevin McCarthy congressional. By the way, that's Tom Siebel, I think he's talking about, if I'm not mistaken. I could be
yes.
wrong.
And Mr. Newsom is quite the piece of work. I don't need to be lectured about morality by a guy who, let's just say he seems to be a marriage obligation optional. I do find it hysterical, though, that he lost a beautiful woman to Donald Trump Jr. But I pity him because I'm another guy who like Donald Trump Jr., who has managed to embrace the Latin heat. I guess, Gavin's just not man enough.
Yeah, the question for Jennifer Newsom, is she okay that her husband serially cheats on her? Is she cool with that? That would be a good question for her.
Look, we are Christians and people regularly fall short, but we ought to point that out and we ought not to celebrate it or ignore it.
Yeah, that's a good question for Jennifer. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Kurt, so many stories to cover, and especially one of the ones that I want to hit right now, beyond the Gavin Newsom-DeSantis debate, which really wasn't much of a debate, credit to DeSantis for ending that. The drama happening in the U.S. House of Representatives right now, Kurt, we need some wins. We just expelled Santos. I think it's absolutely insane. FBI...
It is insane.
Yeah, tell me your thought. Riff on that, Kurt.
My thought is, what's the rule? What is the rule? And if there is a rule that if you've got accusations against you that are serious, and I'm not sure his are that serious, you are expelled. Why is Bob Menendez still in the Senate?
That's
why
right.
Why are half the Democrats still in the House? Why did this even get brought up for a vote? I wouldn't have brought this to the floor.
Yeah, so
holy cow.
So time out. Does Speaker Johnson have the ability to bring it to a vote or not? It's fully his discretion, correct?
I'm not sure.
I'll ask Matt Gaetz about that next. I'll ask Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, maybe a privileged vote where he has to bring it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But why did over 100 Republicans join in?
That's
right. And I would have said, I don't care what Santos did because they don't care what the other side did. Unilateral disarmament does not work. I'd be willing to consider it if the rule was somebody who's done really bad things gets thrown out regardless of parties. I would take it very seriously then. But that's evidently not the rule. And I am done playing Calvin ball with these damn communists.
Yeah, so let's dive deeper into this, Kurt, which is if there was a gentleman's agreement, if we were dealing with people of virtue and honor where we had policy disagreements, then fine. You guys expelled Elon because of some suspicious stuff with immigration and her brother. We'll do this. But there's only one side that plays the virtue signaling game. Do we want to lose, Kurt Schlichter?
I think some of us are afraid to win. I think some of us are afraid to take the hard stands and do the tough things that are necessary to win. You know, we have a society, and this isn't just in politics. We have a society that's probably the most prosperous, secure, greatest society in human history, and we have a significant part of our population that believes that this sort of just happened, that it happened, that it just sort of came about because the arc of the universe bends towards justice. What happened was a bunch of very hard and tough people did some very hard and tough things, including the shedding of blood, to create a society like ours, and they must do tough things, sometimes including the shedding of blood, but also including tolerating people like what they say George Santos did, and I don't know where he's guilty or not, to preserve it. And if you're not willing to do tough things in a tough world, you're going to get rolled, and your little island of prosperity, sanity, and some freedom is going to recede under the waters like Atlantis.
And yet over 100 Republicans enthusiastically run into this. Kurt, what, I mean, you might see this differently than I do. What, if anything, has this House GOP done to put wins on the board?
I don't know. I mean, nothing. I don't see any great change. I was against throwing out Kevin McCarthy, not because I like Kevin McCarthy. I don't like Kevin McCarthy. I actively dislike Kevin McCarthy. But Kevin McCarthy was useful in that position and in putting some wins on the board, not a lot. But he was in a tough position with a very narrow majority. A majority now one narrower, by the way. You know, one bad accident or another Democrat shooting up a ball game changes the majority in the House, Charlie. And we just toss this guy away because we want to be seen as nice guys. Well, I'm not a nice guy, and I don't vote for nice guys. And I think a lot of Republicans feel that way.
I think so. And I think a lot of Republicans care deeply about what the New York Times says about them, what the Washington Post says about them. I really do. I think a lot of these Republicans, they
yes.
care far more about the names that they're called or not called than anything else. Kurt,
I am regularly called the worst epithets on earth. But the nice thing is I am in a chain of command. It doesn't involve the haters are not above me. I answer to the Almighty. And no one else. And my conscience is clear. So you call me whatever you want. Don't care. Never have.
Kurt, your book, about 10 seconds.
Overlord, the eighth Kelly Turnbull novel. It is action-packed. It is conservative. It's available on Amazon. You can find me on Twitter. DM me if you want a signed copy. Make great holiday gifts.
Thank you, Kurt. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues teaching things that directly contradict the values of millions of American families. That's especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you that are worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted sources of American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents thinking about making the switch from public schools to Christian education, and those already in Christian schools too. From their online publication, The Lion, to their new podcast, Making the Leap, the Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. To learn more about how your family, faith, and community can flourish through a Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. Check it out right now. HerzogFoundation.com. Check it out. HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of the Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com. Joining us now is Matt Gaetz, one of the few patriots in the House of Representatives. He's holding the line and doing a great job every single day. Several topics we want to cover, but the one that is about from a week ago that I want to make sure we don't forget is the Minot Air Force Base. Matt Gaetz, you're on the Armed Services Committee. Do we ever get an answer from the Air Force as to why they think Turning Point USA is untouchable for members of the military?
Yeah, just for listeners who know, people who were serving at Minot Air Force Base literally got a text message warning that if they were to attend a Turning Point event, that might impair their ability to serve in the military. And they called Turning Point an alt-right organization. Of course, we all know Turning Point is really an explosion of positive patriotism. It's something that gives young people an opportunity to engage in politics. And so I have a vision to find out exactly who drafted that text message, exactly who authorized it. And I'm going to haul them before the House Armed Services Committee, and whatever woketopian general or colonel or whomever ordered this ought to be forced to sit in that committee room. And you know who I want sitting next to him, Charlie? You. I want you sitting at that table right next to whoever made that decision and have them look at you and look at us and explain to us why they're trying to virtue signal against anything that has an embrace of patriotism and love of country, because they have no problem in the military going and getting, you know, a pro-socialism literature at the National Defense University. They have no problem in embracing radical gender ideology. But if, God forbid, somebody wants to go hear a lecture from one of the great speakers who attend a Turning Point event, then somehow we have to challenge their patriotism. I know it was a week ago, but I am so hot under the collar for this because it is an effort to really signal to people. And let's be honest, it probably wasn't going to be the entire base at Minot Air Force Base that was going to go to this Turning Point event. But what they want to signal is that if you have any association with anything that might be viewed as conservative or traditionalist, that you are somehow dangerous. And they want to do that so that people self-censor in silence and become less patriotic. And this is our military. So we're going to get to the bottom of this, because one thing Tucker Carlson taught me is that one of the most powerful drivers of the human existence is humiliation, and particularly public humiliation. And the people who made this decision deserve to be called to the mat for it. And you know what? If we bring that accountability to bear, hopefully it will deter the next woketopian in a uniform from doing anything that has this flavor.
Let me know when and where. I'd be happy to testify next to our wonderful Air Force.
And it wasn't even you. It was Tyler.
I know.
But Tyler is some sort of alt-right. Yeah, Tyler's like the most mild-mannered, kind. He's an organizer.
Yes.
And it is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it's also unconstitutional. Okay, FISA is coming up, Matt. So the FISA renewal, it's a 12-year potential renewal. There's some reports that Speaker Johnson is trying to slip it into the NDAA bill, that I would hope we can get a standalone vote on this. As you well know, FISA was used to spy on Tucker Carlson, to spy on Donald Trump. It has been abused widely on both Republicans and Democrats. It's been a bipartisan abuse by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They refuse to ever acknowledge or admit that getting a warrant is possible in this entire process. The Washington Post article yesterday was vomit-inducing, where they said, oh, you know, getting a warrant would be too big of an impediment. Matt Gaetz, what's going on with FISA?
Well, first of all, thank you for being an advocate on this, because sometimes when you start talking about FISA, people's eyes glaze over. But this is one of the most abused authorities in our national security apparatus. And it's even worse than you described. When the Obama Inspector General went and reviewed the FBI's conduct on FISA, they were breaking the law 38 times an hour for the period that was reviewed. And they were doing creepy stuff. They were looking up information regarding their neighbors, their ex-lovers, their co-workers. It's a complete 1984 spy state Orwellian construct that they've created. So we have a bill, and it's bipartisan. We worked with Jerry Nadler, Zoe Lofgren, Pramila Jayapal, people that we don't normally make common cause with, but they actually believe in a warrant requirement. They believe in the Fourth Amendment being imposed on the FBI when they want to engage in these queries of Americans. Like, when you hear Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, you think it's people abroad, but they're turning this against our fellow Americans. They used it against people who were in the around the Capitol on January 6th. They used it against people who were involved in the George Floyd riots. So I don't think that I'm equally aggrieved by both of those. I think that this was something we designed to go after terrorists in Central Asian caves, not after the American people. So we've got that bill, and we want to get it passed. I do not believe that you're going to see Speaker Johnson put any sort of clean extension of these authorities without reforms onto our defense authorization bill. We want to see our troops paid more. We want to see our weapon systems in a position to be able to deter and defeat any adversary. But we should not be lashing an extension of corrupt authorities that have been misused to our defense bill. And I can tell you that Mike Johnson has made me a commitment that will not happen. So here's what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to send our bill to the Senate and then force them to either eat those reforms or watch this program expire. And there are a lot of people who are opposed to that. Mike Pompeo has gotten involved in lobbying against our willingness to allow it to expire. John Ratcliffe, Mr. O'Brien as well. So these are Republicans that are really putting a lot of heat on our committee chairs and leadership to do a clean extension of FISA. But we need a lot better than that. If the government wants to search stuff, they should have to have a warrant. This is a principle that has existed throughout our jurisprudence, And I think it would be deeply flawed to consider this as an attachment to any other bill.
So as just a quick follow-up, Matt, and I've asked this of many senators, and I never get a straight answer. They say that the warrantless provision has prevented terrorist attacks and led to arrests and prosecutions. Can you point to one? I don't believe them.
Yeah, I can't really talk about a lot of that stuff because it's there's classifications and there's ongoing investigations. What I can say is that the abuses of FISA would justify its complete relegation to the dustbin of history. Now, that's not to say we don't need tools to be able to go after foreign adversaries that would do Americans harm, but we don't have to use this system that has been so just ripe with corruption. And you see the 10,000 plus employees at the DOJ who are able to go and query the FISA database as yet another extension of that abuse. So I don't think that this is something that is keeping us safe. I think it is something that is keeping the nosy FBI in your phone logs, in your emails, in your text messages without probable cause. You know what? If there are people out there who are doing us harm, we should go get probable cause and get a warrant. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, and I will just say it's incumbent on them to start to prove some of these fear-mongering one-liners that they put out. They say, oh, yeah, we've prevented terrorist attacks. Okay, name one. Can you name a prosecution indictment that all the, and by the way, not only name one where you wouldn't have been able to get a warrant in that situation. So that's
right, exactly.
It's two-pronged.
So I think it would be, easy for them to name instances in which law enforcement was effective at deterring some sort of bad act. But the second prong is absolutely key. In virtually every single one of those cases, you would be able to get a warrant. I think in every one of those cases, you would have been able to get a warrant. And now they're throwing up these hobgoblin, like red herring arguments. They're saying, oh, well, if every one of these has to have a warrant, we need time. We have to go build.
Yes, that's called the Constitution,
compartmentalized,
moron. Yeah, if you do not like this framework, go work for the intel agency of Saudi Arabia. I'm told they're hiring. They don't have a Fourth Amendment. Okay. Well, it's too hard.
And you know what? If we're not willing to fight on this, then it is a real black eye for Republicans. We have spent years chronicling, researching, exposing these abuses. And if we have all these hearings and expose the abuses, and then we're not willing to cut off the authorities or the money to do it, then it's all just for show. And this is just a big game, and we're not actually fighting for the American people and their civil liberties. So at the end of the day, don't look at the flashy lures. It's about the authorities that these government entities have, and it's about the money you send them. That's true at the DOJ. That's true at the FBI. That's true at the border. That's true with our foreign aid and the Department of State. That's true with Ukraine. Follow the money and follow the authorities. And that's where we have to really focus our effort now that we have a speaker who I think can deliver for us.
I'm curious, any hope in the next couple weeks to get an impeachment of Mayorkas, Garland, or Joe Biden?
We don't have the votes to impeach anyone. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is actually showcasing that by forcing votes on impeachment, by filing these privileged resolutions. And frankly, we've got a lot of these moderate members who just don't have the gumption to advance impeachment. And here's what I'm looking forward to. How many of the 105 people who voted to expel George Santos are going to vote against the impeachment inquiry?
Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. Matt, you gave a great speech on the House floor to not expel George Santos. My question is, was this a privileged motion, or did the speaker have to bring this to the floor, or could he have blocked this?
A speaker had no choice. When you move to expel a member, you have to have a vote on it if it's offered in a privileged manner. Here, you had privileged introduction of that desire to expel George Santos, and so a vote was going to come either way. This isn't on Speaker Johnson. It's on the 100-plus Republicans who changed the precedent of the United States House of Representatives from its inception. The only way you got kicked out of the House was being convicted of a crime or participating in the Civil War. Now, Jamal Bowman literally pled guilty to a crime, and the Ethics Committee did nothing. They ended the investigation into Jamal Bowman. And yet George Santos, who I think we can all agree is sort of an eccentric individual, and I don't know if he's guilty or not, but guess what? I'm a congressman. I'm not the judge, the jury, the executioner. So when we get to a posture where the swamp of Washington, D.C. gets to substitute its judgment for the judgment of voters who sent a member of Congress here, you have eroded democracy. You have eroded the republic. This representative system of government that we have becomes less operational when it's not the voters who get the final say. It is so disappointing. And again, this is not a defense of George Santos or anything he's done, but you and I both know the Democrats would never do this. Like, ain't nothing noble about the gold that Bob Menendez is carrying around, right? And yet they had him as the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he's still getting classified briefings after an allegation that he was taking bribes from Egypt, and he had these gold bars that he didn't get from Noble Gold that he got with Arabic inscriptions on them. And so the double standard and our willingness to self-mutilate on these things really impairs our ability to get the job done. So let's do the math here, Charlie. We have a 4-vote majority, right? Now we've kicked out George Santos. We have a 3-vote majority. Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio has taken a college university presidency. That could knock us down to 2. And I don't really think Kevin McCarthy's sticking around long. Every image of his office shows that he's packing things up in boxes. So we could be down to a 1-seat majority. We got a bunch of these octogenarians in our conference. If God forbid any of them were to cross the Rainbow Bridge, we would be in a situation where we could literally lose the majority because we were so eager to throw George Santos out before even being convicted. It is not in accordance with precedent. It is not in accordance with due process. And it is just tactically freaking stupid.
Yeah, besides that, it was a brilliant idea. What do they tell you? I mean, these people are gutless wonders. They do nothing. Honestly, Matt, you have to do it every single day. Why give Republicans more power if they do stuff like this?
Well, just because the alternative is so much worse, to be honest with you. I mean, for all of our flaws and foibles and follies, we're at least not trying to cut the genitalia off your children like the Democrats are. So, I mean, that's basically what we have at this point.
No, but we do try to mutilate our own Congress.
Yeah, we're mutilating ourselves. The Democrats want to mutilate your children. So I guess that's what we're left with right now in America. I mean, and by the way, like, what concerns you more? That George Santos, you know, misused some campaign funds for Botox and OnlyFans, or that the chairman of the Ethics Committee regularly trades defense stocks? Like, that's a laugh. I mean, what are we doing right now?
Matt Gaetz, everybody. Good luck. I wouldn't want your job. Enjoy. Thanks, Matt. Keep fighting.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company,
like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.